Would you turn with me this morning to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 37. Let's stand and give honor to God and to His precious word this morning. Luke 1, beginning at verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And the angel left her. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the most wonderful and precious name of Jesus. We come to you this morning in need of your love and your grace and your mercy and forgiveness. We come to you as sinners that need your redeeming. Lord, today, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher today. And lead and guide us into all truth, for your word is truth. And Lord, we do lift up Pastor Kangas today. We cover him and Lisa with the precious blood of Jesus and ask for his protection and his healing at this time, that you might raise him up and that you might use him mightily in your kingdom's work. Father, thank you for these friends. Bless them. And Lord, I ask that you would anoint me with your spirit and power, with love and compassion. And may Christ be exalted in all things. We praise you and we love you and we give you all glory and honor and praise this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Mary, the servant of the Lord. Mary receives a heavenly visit today. You know, it's been God's desire from the time of creation that he would dwell with us, that he could draw near to us. But sin has affected that relationship. And even our relationship with Christ isn't what it really ought to be. There are five things we'll look at here this morning. First of all, the messenger, the message, the mystery, the method, and the miracle. First of all, the messenger in verses 26 through 28. The angel Gabriel appears to this virgin girl in Nazareth. And Mary is engaged to Joseph the carpenter. And during this engagement period, the newly married couple was husband and wife. When they become betrothed, they're immediately husband and wife. However, she was to live with, they were each to live with their respective families and refrain from sex. What was the purpose of this? First of all, it gave the groom time to prepare the couple's new home, usually a one-room addition to his parents' house. Joseph had to make that place to stay. The second reason is it gave the bride time to complete several purification rituals and to demonstrate that she was sexually pure. Proof of paternity was of supreme importance in the Jewish law. When the bride had completed her purification and the groom was ready to receive her, the groom and his wedding party would arrive at her house where he called her for his bride to join him. This was what they called the home-taking. And the wedding party would lift the couple into the air, carry them to their new home, where the family would celebrate the union of the couple for as long as maybe 7 days. It's quite a celebration. Can you imagine your wedding party picking you and your bride up and carrying it to your house? I've carried some pretty heavy caskets in my day, but it's quite, you know, a person is alive and they're heavy sometimes. And they just picked them up and took them to their home. But it had to be startling to have Gabriel come and talk to her. The second thing is the message. First of all, it was a message of Gabriel's assurance. In verses 29 through 30, Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." He comforts Mary, saying that God had found favor with her. And Mary dreamed of the home-taking and the grand celebration Joseph was preparing. When this voice interrupted her solitude, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." The greeting completely confused her. Highly favored. What does that mean? The word favored means to have approval or to be affection shown. God was approving of her for this task she was going to do and loved her in the midst of it, showing affection. But yet, why? She was just a peasant girl. And in that time, teenage girls occupied a very low status in ancient times. Before she could reply, the angel spoke, saying, "Don't be afraid, you found favor with God." The second part of the message is Gabriel's announcement in verses 31 through 33. Mary will give birth to Jesus, the Messiah, whose kingdom and reign over Israel will never end. The prophets had foretold the coming of the Savior King. Every Jew anticipated the arrival of the Messiah in his or her own way. And Mary learned that day that she would be the mother of the Messiah. But I'm just a peasant girl. I'm just a teenager. As I think about that, I was thinking about the Apostles' Creed. And I know that you don't say that every Sunday here, but there's a reason that we should be saying it every Sunday. But the meaning to the second article, I believe in Jesus Christ, true God, true man, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature, bought me and freed me from all sin, from death and from the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy and precious blood, in order that I might be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. This is why Jesus came, to redeem you and me, lost and condemned creatures in need of a Savior. Mary was going to be the mother of our Savior. But the mystery here, verse 34, look at that. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. Being a virgin, Mary is perplexed, wondering how this can be accomplished. How can this be since I'm a virgin? The Greek literally puts it this way. How will this be since a man I do not know? Interesting. How will this be? The word know in the intimate sense means sexual intercourse. How can a virgin conceive a child? Mary still had to tell her husband Joseph. How would he react? What would the people in the community think? Would Joseph have to stone her or put her away privately, divorce her? What was going to happen? She was truly his wife at this point. Explain this to me, Joseph would say. You see the dilemma she was in? And she's only a teenager. And then he tells us of the method. Verse 35. This is an important verse. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Gabriel tells us that the Holy Spirit will father the baby. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, he becomes true God without sin. In the Old Testament, this word overshadow takes on a tremendous meaning. Think of the crossing of the Red Sea, right? God led the people through the Red Sea with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He overshadowed them. Think about Moses when he went into the tent of the meeting. And it says when he went into the tent, the cloud stood over the tent while he was in that tent of meeting. His presence was there. And when he came out, right? He glowed with the glory of God. And what about Moses when God became so upset with the people of Israel? God told Moses, says, "You go lead your people, but I will not go with you." And Moses interceded on behalf of the nation of Israel, pleading with God. God, if you don't go with us, I am not going, he said. And finally, God answered his prayer. And Moses asked for something that was absolutely amazing. Show me your glory. And what does he do? He agreed to show him his glory, but no one shall see the face of God. So Moses up on the mountain is placed in the cleft of the rock, a little place of protection, and the glory of the Lord passed by him. The presence of God overshadowing him. He put his hand out over Moses to protect him from his almighty presence. And the same relationship here is with Mary. And the shadow of the Most High will overshadow him. She was just like she would be in a pillar. And the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her and father this child. Tremendous. Tremendous. God's spiritual presence would miraculously conceive a male child in her womb. Interesting. Makes it very clear that it would be a male child. That should end all discussion about the gender issue when it comes to God being true man, right? What about Joseph? Joseph, her husband, it says, being a righteous man, didn't want to disgrace her, planning to send her away. Turn over to Matthew for just a little bit. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son. Did you get that? Birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophets. Joseph planned to deal with her mercifully. But the angel spoke to Joseph and explained it all to him, and he finally understood. The angel also confirmed Mary's innocence in the matter. Joseph didn't divorce her. He took her home, but had no union with her until after the baby was born. It's a beautiful love relationship between Joseph and Mary. It talks about a husband who loves and cares for his bride. And then we have the miracle, verses 36 and 37. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Remember where God said that before? Abraham and Sarah, right? For nothing is impossible with God. A miracle had taken place for Elizabeth and Zechariah, and they would have a child in old age. Wow, what a miracle. What a miracle. But in all of this, I like Mary's response the best. It really shows us her heart. Verse 38. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. Be it to me as you have said. Another translation says, be it done unto me as you have said. You want to talk about a heart of a servant? It's Mary. Mary. She's just saying, I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever you want, dear God. Is that your heart? When God gives you a task to do, is that your heart? God, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I am your servant. You see, Mary was a bondservant or a bondslave. And we need to understand that, because that means that it refers to someone who voluntarily sells himself or herself into slavery. Mary was willing to be a slave for God, willingly gave herself. My. Mary and Joseph would go through this together at whatever cost or embarrassment that would come. And believe me, I don't think the people back then were any different than they are today. They know how to talk, right? Come on. They know how to talk and they know how to spread this garbage. But Joseph and Mary together were willing to go through whatever they had to do for God to accomplish this great miraculous birth. And I want to tell you today, we cannot explain the incarnation of Jesus. It's a mystery. It'll always be a mystery. But we take it by faith because the Word of God says so. Right? We can't understand it. We understand pieces of it, but we don't understand the whole picture. A miracle. And the question today is, are you and I willing to commit ourselves to unconditional service of the Lord? You know, being a servant has kind of gotten a bad rap these days. Most people want to be the boss. They want to go to college, take leadership classes, strive to be a supervisor, a CEO. They take classes to lead, but not to follow. Sometimes in churches we have more chiefs than Indians, right? We're all to serve. But I want to propose to you today that being a servant isn't a bad thing. Someone with a servant's heart doesn't need to be in the limelight all the time. They allow someone else to get the glory while they serve in the background. And whoever shall give a drink to one of these little ones, to one of the least of these, has done it unto me, Jesus. Servant. We're called to serve. And in this new church here, people, if you're willing to commit yourself to be servants, you're going to see great things happen in this place. when you start building up others, when you start encouraging them, when you start giving of yourself, Scripture says the goodness of God leads people to repentance. And that takes service. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it as you are doing it to the Lord Christ. I don't care if it's the menial task of cleaning your house or cleaning a toilet or whatever it is. Do it unto the Lord. I have to tell you, my grandma, Grandma Tilly, maybe I've shared it before, but my Grandma Tilly didn't have very good shoes growing up, just canvas shoes, winter and summer. And she had a leg that was like this at a right angle. Try to walk like that. You know what I mean? Talk about pain. But what I remember about her, as early as 1955, KFNW came on the radio, and her radio was always on. And if she wasn't listening to that, she was humming. She always had a song in her heart. And whatever menial task she did, she did it as unto the Lord. Even with her limitations. We're really blessed, aren't we? We have all kinds of abilities right here in this room. In this new church year, I'm proposing that you serve in the greatest way possible, whatever gift you have, whatever abilities you have, serve Him with all your might and see what God will do. He's going to do great things because He enjoys doing great things. Mary, the servant of the Lord, be it done unto me as you will. Father in heaven, thank you for the example of Mary. May we learn from her willing obedience to go through whatever she had to go through to bring this Christ child into this world. For our benefit. Lord, we praise you. We give you thanks now. And Lord, all honor and glory goes to you. And I ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.